I was up at my friend Barbara's house recently doing a short retreat, and in the retreat cabin there's a cartoon. The man is sitting in full lotus and kind of meditation robe of some kind, and he has his cell phone up, you see here, and he's saying, "Can I call you back? We're in the now here." But you know, we do, we have all these kind of groovy ideas about, is groovy even a word anymore? Probably not, right? But we have all these ideas about spirituality and everything that is on our terms. Trungpa Rinpoche used to call that spiritual materialism, because we use it all to just keep feeling good. And that seems reasonable, but to actually have deep, profound well-being requires bravery. And if what I'm talking about today is enlightened society and how it's a process rather than a goal, the process is of lots of us being brave enough to feel and be, and then touch into the lineage of all the people that have ever, in the past, present, or in the future, been brave enough to go to this place. And it's like washing dishes. You don't just go once to this place. It's a way of living. It's a way of continually awakening and deepening further and further. And if you don't keep tending the garden, the weeds grow back. But then, just like when you love your flowers and all the bees and birds and everything that come around, you tend it with such gentleness and love. So love is a big ingredient in this whole equation. Love. Love, appreciation, gratitude, kindness, all the heart qualities. I've discovered those qualities so much in this raw and vulnerable place of feeling what we feel, with a sense of this is basic goodness. There's nothing wrong here. There's nothing in this view of Shambhala meditation or meditation altogether, when properly understood, that is corrective. It's not about improving or making yourself better. It's about just being fully, genuinely human and who you are, but without the spin-off. And even the spin-off, as I say, when you catch yourself and just feel what you feel, even if you're 2 hours into the spin-off, you know, or 4 days later, it's never too late, you know, to feel and be in touch.
So I'd like to begin just by saying good afternoon. How are you? Good. I'm fine, thank you. But I would like to just initiate this by just offering a bow of respect and just acknowledging each other as we go into a sort of inner journey of discovering our own inherent goodness and working with these principles intuitively and internally. So the way I like to think about the bow is that it is a crystallization of whatever principle you're working with, and it's contacting each other and respecting. And we have the namaste, and we have handshake, and we have just the basic nod. We have the I see you, I look. So there's many ways human beings contact, and obviously in certain Asian traditions there's the bow, and the basic principle is that we're acknowledging and transferring some kind of respect. And so I think whatever theme has been striking you, so if it is a sense of bravery, if it's a sense of compassion, whatever the theme is, you can bring that to mind. And then as we go forward, we will develop that theme further. So simply take good posture. Just feel your inherent strength and dignity in your own body. We've been talking a lot about mind and heart, just connecting to our feet and head, shoulders. And our body becomes a receptacle for our principles. And then we just simply bow and release tension, responsibility. There's a softening. And then we come back up. And it's just a fresh start. I'm extremely delighted. I just had an opportunity to touch in with Ani Pema Chodron. And it sounds like things went well. In particular, just continuing the theme of the times we're living in and how we can bring these principles more and more into the forefront. And in particular, we've been really talking about the theme of how we can become social transformers, not only in our own life, but in society. And that has to come from some kind of strength. So this is where I see the relationship between our own personal contemplative practice. And I know there's a wide variety of practices and contemplations. And I think just to express something about meditation and just the background of this is that meditation, just in a very basic sense, is a culture that is dedicated and sees the inherent power of the human mind. And so it is a culture based upon that respect and understanding. And I think that how we regard that human mind is very important. And one of the basic principles of the Shambhala meditation is that if we're in a culture that is perpetually telling us that we are bad, that we are incomplete, and there's a tremendous sense of guilt. And I think one of the inspirations that I have right now is that having children and working with many youth and future generations is that what kind of world are we handing on? And one thing that I feel like we can try to avoid handing on is more guilt. And I think a lot of times when we sit and meditate, you know, one of the basic essence of meditation is really relaxation.
So this is our panelless panel discussion. We were going to have a table in front of our principal speakers with a microphone and bottle of water in a corporate context, and we decided against that and opted for a more living room chat quality exchange between our speakers. And I think the intention behind this discussion is that I know I've been very privileged to be with these speakers for these last few days, and some of the richest and deepest exchanges are taking place behind the scenes as there are amazing conversations taking place off stage. So we thought we'd share with you some of that richness and have a private conversation in front of everyone. And talking about some of these themes really inspiring an exchange with our speakers between the Sakyong and Ani Pema and to hear what they have to say to each other. Now, one of the questions that arose from the audience that I think is percolating underneath a lot of these themes around cyclicality and suffering is about the sense of urgency. And the meditative approach and the approach of maybe the kenosis and the opening and not having an agenda and that quality of maybe the soft side that you've been speaking about, Rinpoche, that can often feel so patient and so slow, so gradual. What do we do as people who want to help and yet want to remain within this open heart? How do we work with that sense of urgency and still stay open?
I'm thinking about the Dalai Lama, His Holiness Dalai Lama. This is the squeeze he's in all the time, is because he advocates based on his profound conviction in the fact that process is more important than results. In other words, how we do things creates the future. And therefore, he advocates patience and tolerance, going slowly, and nonviolence. And particularly the young get very impatient, and they want to fight back and push back, and so they think he's old and square and, you know, backward thinking and things like that.
Not groovy.
I used the word groovy this morning, and then I thought maybe that word doesn't get used anymore. You know?
Well, if you use square, you've got to go.
Oh, I see square. All right. Uh-oh.
I think they're both good.
They're both good.
I'm not familiar with those terms. Really good.